Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today I want to look at the word expert, not so much in terms of family court, but more widely in its use in society. My view is the word expert is overused and overvalued and should be seen for what it often is, an educated guess that is often without accountability. The harm that experts do runs throughout society on every level. There are few people in life who really know what they're doing well enough to be able to advise the way experts do. Let's have a look at a few examples. In court, I know many of us are surprised at how poorly trained court experts and judges seem to be on abuse and trauma. In episode 11 of this podcast, Jodie Gibson discussed trauma and how the training that experts have may not match our expectations. Some experts are not even trained in trauma, yet they see many people and report on many people who are suffering from it. And there is a gap there between their training and the people they're dealing with. Another example is in sports. Very common. How often do we see on TV ex-players who have many trophies to their name predict wildly incorrect outcomes for a sports game? They make all kinds of predictions and forecasts and say things like, "I can't see any way for Team X to beat Team Y," only for that to happen moments later. It happens time and again, and it's so funny to see sometimes how people who have played at the highest level can get it so wrong. And yet, it illustrates perfectly the problem experts have. And it's done on national TV, so we get to see it with a level of scrutiny most experts don't receive. We see these sports experts with all the knowledge you could hope for just get things totally wrong. A coin flip could possibly do it better. Another example is economics. The Federal Bank in the USA and the Bank of England in the UK, to name just two highly respected institutions, completely missed the boat on predicting a recent inflation surge. Transitory was a word used by those in charge, despite lay people and other experts saying otherwise. Still, the officials were the experts with the power. When they were proved to be behind the curve and wrong on inflation being transitory, it hurt millions of people who paid sharply increasing interest rates, with seemingly no consequence for the experts who got it wrong. Another example is gender. Society seems to be re-evaluating giving blockers to children, yet so-called experts originally saw their introduction. Another example is lockdowns. Lockdowns and school closures are increasingly seen as causing lasting harm to children, yet experts were responsible for bringing them in. Follow the science, we were told, yet there are often experts on both sides and those in power have a choice as to which advice they follow when the views of experts can be polar opposites. I think sometimes experts are a way for officials to cover their backsides and pass the buck of responsibility, because they can always say later that they followed the experts. I think this can happen in court too and other places. Another example is the COVID response. I don't want to get into the COVID debate too much, but giving COVID injections to children is increasingly seen as unwise and unnecessary. There were experts on both sides at the time, but only one set were listened to, with the others cast aside, cancelled, or just ignored. Another example, diesel cars, to do with the environment. They were supposed to be great for the environment. We were incentivized to buy them. That's no longer the case. The expert advice has changed. Now experts say diesel is bad and buy electric. Who knows what they'll say in the future, yet it will shape policy, cost billions or trillions of dollars, and affect most of our lives. Another example, courts. We see experts in law on both sides of any available offence in family law and other branches of law. I think if we had a better justice system, along the lines of the improvements I mentioned in episode 2, and along the lines of improvements suggested by many others, including the Family Court Reform Coalition, with simpler, fairer co-parenting guidelines and less enabling of false allegations and perjury, then the need for many experts in court and for many court cases at all would recede. And families would not only have better outcomes after conflict, but would have better starting points that would maybe avoid conflict, because they would know that bad behaviour such as false allegations would not win out, and fair co-parenting would likely be the result. Another example is health. I've heard Tony Robbins say that with diagnosis, around 80% of second opinions differ from the first. So it's a really good idea to get that opinion, that second opinion, although it flies in the face of how society paints experts. We rarely consider how wrong experts can be and the resulting cost of that to individuals and society. There are endless examples such as crazy parole decisions, refereeing decisions on TV, in sports, government spending, etc. There is no shortage of experts making decisions that are obviously bonkers to most lay people. Just in Britain, we've seen, to name a few examples, major mistakes for children with lockdown effects, school closures, COVID jabs, poor education standards, etc., letting down children, and also the gender debate to do with children. And this is all despite Britain having more experts than ever. Sometimes experts confuse things at great cost, driving things away from simple truths that serve children better. Still, it's a great way for officials to pass the buck and avoid responsibility, and that may increase the use of experts. Experts are similar to lawyers in the sense that once they have a bone to chew on and a paycheck, some can be incentivized to increase costs and the time taken with no accountability or reference to the outcome. Sometimes less is more, and we stray too far from simple truths. Common sense is undervalued, I believe. Sadly, that is good business for some, but it's fantastic to see there's some pushback happening now in some areas and some recent news stories. It's a start, and there is hope. Last year, I heard Peter Diamandis say on his Moonshots podcast that for every expert, there is an equal and opposite expert. It's a great quote, and it's a great podcast. I often recommend the Moonshots podcast. It's brilliant. How honest are experts? I'm not saying that experts are dishonest at all, but as I looked at with a recent episode on incentives, bad incentives create bad outcomes and bad systems. Decades ago, on the effects of smoking and the introduction of car seat belts, there were experts on both sides. This frequently can be the case and happens nowadays with the gender debate, the COVID response, education, and other examples I've talked about. They're frequently highly paid, well-qualified experts on both sides. Some of them, I think, are like lawyers. They're for rent, mercenaries. If their research came out with findings against the people paying them, would or could they be transparent and say that? Often experts are paid and their reports are used to influence in a particular direction. We cannot assume they are always independent or impartial, although often they will be. Experts also have the same pressures and failings as other people. Life stress, bad day syndrome, bias, trauma, troubled histories, lack of sleep, etc. All those can affect their work. When experts get things wrong, there is rarely any consequence. If you make a big mistake in your job, you may lose your job. Frequently, that's not so for experts damaging millions of people. You rarely even get a sorry, and some of these experts get knighthoods. Let's have a look at a tool that experts often use, and that is computer modelling. Many experts use this. It sounds high tech and hard for a layperson to challenge, except when you see the results. Recently, we saw health models fail on COVID response, economic models fail on inflation, and let's not start on weather modelling, which we see fail quite regularly. There's many examples. When things go wrong, we can be told that the modelling will be improved, often at great cost, and we're often told when experts get things wrong that lessons will be learned. It just doesn't seem to happen. We often see things repeat because fallibility and error were not examined properly and there's little accountability. One good example of this is the failure of long-term capital management in 1998. They were founded by financial experts, including a Nobel Prize winner in economics. They built a financial model to make money. When that model failed, they had to be bailed out to stop widespread risk to the financial system. Does that sound familiar? Around 10 years later, in 2008, experts speculating on the housing market caused the global financial crisis. When experts get it wrong, public is often told lessons will be learned, but they rarely are. And how many people had any consequence at all, went to jail, etc., for that financial crisis. Yet, how many people lost their homes, their jobs, their lives as a result of those experts failing? Across the media, sports, finance, technology, and education, and many other areas, experts fail all the time, but little is learned. Let's put their advice into perspective. I'm not arguing against models or experts. We need them. Just that we should not see them as being infallible. They are not all-knowing. How many times have you seen an expert on TV only to think their advice is nuts? It's a difficult balance because we need them, but we should not place too much value on them. As a society, we don't question experts anywhere near as much as we should. I mean, we see this on TV as well. Reporters and TV presenters seem to take expert advice too willingly and with not enough questioning, in my view. Looking at examples and areas I've talked about, and also that there's many more, I think it's time that somebody wrote a book to widen or popularize knowledge about experts and how much we rely on them or overly rely on them, and to popularize knowledge of how often they fail and to make us a little bit more knowing about that as a society. I think this sort of thing should be taught in schools to foster critical thinking, which is something children should be taught. As a society, we don't seem good at addressing how little we and our experts really know. In some ways, our society is built on structures of perceived expertise. I think we would benefit from being a bit more critical and a bit more humble about experts and acknowledge that often we and they just don't know the answers. I think it would help society if we did that. Okay, to wrap things up, we like to give over power and responsibility to experts, but we shouldn't do that anywhere near as much as we do. Often a dose of scepticism, critical thinking, and common sense is worthwhile. Sometimes we're given advice from people whose track record is hidden or unknown, and often it's from people who have a proven track record of poor outcomes. Neil Ferguson springs to mind, as do many sports TV experts and people on CNBC for financial matters. They often get things completely wrong, but the public's memories are short and they're brought back to do it all over again. I think also there's a human need to be guided and advised by people who know more than you, and there's often nothing wrong with that. It's a very useful thing in many ways, but there is a balance that somehow has to be found. We obviously need experts and they perform a valuable role, but we just need some perspective and some questioning and not putting so much certainty around their advice, and to just have a bit more humility in the way we look at them and the way they portray themselves, some of them as well. And we need to realise that sometimes they're going to get things completely wrong, and we need to accept that and acknowledge it more as a society, I think. The sooner we reevaluate the position, capabilities and fallibilities of experts, the better we will be, in my view. One way to counter having too much faith in experts is to re-term experts in court and all areas as fallible experts, or FEs. If we called experts fallible experts, that's not disrespectful, it's just acknowledging the reality. They are experts, but they can fail. Their advice can be wrong. I think if we did that, that alone would do much to change the perceptions across society. It will also lessen the burden of expectation on experts, and we need to realise that they often make mistakes and we should acknowledge it more. Just to sum up, my view is the word expert is simply overvalued and overused and should be seen for what it is in most cases, a guess that is often without accountability. Experts are often giving us an educated guess and not much more in many cases. That's all for this episode. Wherever you are on your parenting journey, best wishes and bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.